Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. Glad to have you with us for this Tuesday edition of the program. Hopefully you made it through the early round of wind and weather we had this morning. It sounds like it's going to be at least a chance for a wild afternoon into the evening with some pretty severe storms potentially going to hit our area a little bit later today. I know a lot of the high school practices and games that were scheduled for today, obviously the outdoor stuff is off, but even some of the indoor stuff has already been called because of what's expected to hit the area later tonight. So be aware, be safe, be vigilant, and we'll see what happens with this weather moving through and hope that it's not as bad as what at least the potential that they're saying it could be is. So glad to have you with us for this Tuesday show. Let's look at the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one here in just a moment. We'll take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll talk about the transfer portal. There's a little bit of movement as far as prospects that Indiana is targeting, and also the McDonald's All-American game set to be played tonight. And, of course, we all know that Bryson Tucker, big exciting commit in the 2024 class, will play in the game. Flory Badunga from Kokomo, who's going to Kansas, is going to be on the television tonight for that game as well. But I'm going to tell you about another name that just became a lot more interesting, potentially, to Indiana fans and to folks that are going to watch the game tonight. So stay with us for that coming up here in just a bit. Also, later today on our Tuesday show, we'll have an extended conversation with Mike Schumann of the Daily Hoosier. We'll talk portal movement. We'll talk the NCAA tournament and the Final Four. We'll talk a little Purdue. And also we'll talk a little bit of IU football as well. I saw a tweet just before we came on the air, Coach Signetti talking with the media earlier today. And he has now had six spring practices with the IU football team. So it sounds like things are slowly progressing forward for Indiana, and we'll talk a little bit of football. We don't want to forget totally about it, especially with the new coach and the spring game coming up here later this month. As we're into April now, we'll chat a little football with Mike when he's with us later today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals, which are being offered. You can also check out their great sandwiches and salads and soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Send us a text, a question, a comment. You can sound off. Did you watch the Iowa-LSU women's game last night? What a college women's basketball game that was last evening. But really, anything you want to talk about, any questions you have for Mike Schumann, anything at all, well, as long as it's respectable, reasonable, we'll get it on the air. The number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Don't forget to check out Area Thornton's for their all-new chicken and waffle burrito. It's now available at lunch. They've got the classic chicken burrito with a kick. It features Mike's Hot Honey. Enjoy the delicious pairing of chicken, American cheese, Mike's Hot Honey, and a pickle all wrapped in a warm tortilla only at Area Thornton's. Check it out today and send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Let's get into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And let's go portaling. I like that term. It's taking over college basketball as the NCAA tournament wraps up. We are now just a few weeks into the transfer portal 45-day window. And one of the names of interest for Indiana is Brandon Huntley Hatfield that was at U of L last season. And Indiana had a visit scheduled with him. He was going to come on campus later this month, but he did announce last night that he is going to cancel the visit to Indiana, and he is going to focus on a potential return to Louisville. That is option number one. He's also going to consider Connecticut, which, hey, who wouldn't right now with the way Connecticut is playing and winning? Obviously, Coach Hurley has built that into a program that's not going anywhere anytime soon. Also, Pittsburgh and North Carolina State on his radar. He did not mention Indiana. So Indiana off the board for Huntley Hatfield. And it would not surprise me at all, have no insight, but not surprise me at all if he returned to Louisville with all the excitement around new coach Pat Kelsey here in the last few days. I would say that a number of those U of L players, and most of them are in the transfer portal right now, I would say that there's a good chance a number of them return to Louisville because of the excitement and because of the way the new coach is taking over the program. So that'll be interesting to see. But Huntley Hatfield, I thought, was an intriguing prospect out of the portal that Indiana seemed to have some interest in, and he obviously returned that interest, scheduling a visit, but things have changed, and he's going to consider a return to Louisville and some of those other schools I mentioned. Also, transfer portal mentioned Connor Hickman of Bloomington South, who played at Bradley, a great shooter, played with Anthony Leal, but was injured for basically all of his senior season. So we didn't get to see Hickman and Leal team up that senior year for Bloomington South. But he had an in-home visit yesterday with Mike Woodson and other members of his staff, according to multiple reports. Of course, he was an all-conference player in the Missouri Valley Conference. He has one season of eligibility remaining. And I know that Kenya Hunter and Brian Walsh were in his house along with Coach Woodson yesterday. He's got Cincinnati and Nebraska coming in today, I believe. Vanderbilt is also in consideration as well. Hickman has started 87 of the 96 games that he played in at Bradley. As a junior, he shot 40.2% from three-point range and averaged 2.5 makes per game. He averaged 14.5 points per game, 2.9 assists, 3.4 rebounds, and 1.2 steals per game, and shot 70.1% from the free throw line. He played just over 32 minutes a game for Bradley last season. So definitely an intriguing player. Again, one of these guys in the portal that has connections not only to the state of Indiana, but also living in Bloomington, growing up in Bloomington, playing at Bloomington South High School. Had a great career there. Other than that, last year when he was injured, that was really a bummer for him. I know Bloomington South had a really nice team. Anthony Leal that year went on to be Mr. Basketball, and Hickman and he would have been quite the tag team, that is for sure. But Hickman is a player to watch here. Can Indiana get him? They need a three-point shooter. They need a good shooter. Can they get him away from Cincinnati and Nebraska? Of course, Nebraska, an in-conference team, also recruiting him. Be interesting to see, but he definitely has been one of the big names that Indiana is very, very serious with, at least so far coming out of the transfer portal. McDonald's All-American game tonight down in Houston. It's always fun to watch. I think it's one of those all-star games where they still somewhat care. There's a little bit of defense played, but it's a lot of dunks and a lot of flashy moments. The only reason that I really pay much attention to the game is, number one, just historically, it's been a great event in high school basketball to wrap up the season. There have been a lot of Indiana-based players from our state that have been selected to play in the game over the years. I've been to the game a number of times, had a lot of fun with friends and coaches down in Atlanta when Romeo Langford was a McDonald's All-American. He actually played well in that McDonald's All-American game back some years ago. But it's always something fun. The number one thing I get from it is you get to learn more about these players who will go on to be stars, a lot of them at their respective colleges for next season. You get to hear the commentary and who they are, NBA potential. To me, it's as interesting as anything to hear the comments on them from the ESPN announcing crew. But players of interest tonight, obviously Bryson Tucker from Maryland, Bishop O'Connell High School, 6'6", small forward who committed to Indiana just a week or so ago. In fact, March 28th, what a prize that was for Mike Woodson and his staff, kind of unexpectedly to get a visit from him and then for him to commit to Indiana. Also, Flory Badunga, another name to know tonight from Kokomo, who will play at Kansas. Flory is probably Mr. Basketball. I think Jack Benner of Brownstown, especially after a big state championship push over the weekend, can maybe compete with him for that award. But Flory is quite a player, quite a talent, and he, I think, will be one of the key guys to watch in the McDonald's game tonight. Of course, other names that you'll know, and a lot of these names we know from recruiting, but another name you'll know is Liam McNeely, who is uncommitted, the only uncommitted player in the game until this morning, because that's where another name comes in I want to tell you about. His name is Trent Perry, and he was committed to USC, but with Andy Enfield leaving and going to what, SMU, I believe, he is asked out of his national letter of intent and is now uncommitted. So could Mike Woodson, with a lot of NIL money to back up his efforts, reach out to Trent Perry, and could Indiana be in line potentially to have another shot at a big-time 2024 class player, a McDonald's All-American late in the country? I have not seen what schools have reached out to Perry yet, or if he's listed any schools that he's interested in. I did see that he was quoted saying he was basically just going to restart his recruitment. He would consider those schools he dealt with in the recruiting process before committing to USC. But again, Indiana, according to people I know, has a lot of money right now to throw at the NIL and transfer portal and late 2024 recruits. So I would be shocked if Indiana doesn't at least reach out and see what happens. But that is another name to listen into tonight is Trent Perry. He's from North Hollywood, California, played at Harvard Westlake High School. Again, 6'4", point guard, and is, again, one of the top players in the country. I think he is just behind Bryson Tucker. Tucker was 20th, 22nd in some of the national rankings. I think Perry was 25th, 26th, 27th in some of the national rankings. So he is another name to pay attention to tonight. Also, Derek Queen, Indiana had a very long recruitment of him. A lot of people thought he might ultimately become a Hoosier. He did not. He will play at Maryland next season, teammate of Liam McNeely, so he's someone to see in the game tonight. And just kind of scrolling through the list of things, other Big Ten players, Zoom Diallo will play at Washington. Also, other Big Ten players in the game going down the list here. I mentioned Queen to Maryland. Rutgers has a couple players, Dylan Harper, and also, I believe it's Arius Bailey, Harper, a point guard, Bailey, a forward, two guys committed to Rutgers, so a big recruiting class for them. At Cooper Flagg, if you've never seen him play, you're in for a treat. He's the number one player in the country. He is from Maine, but played at Montverde Academy with Liam McNeely and Derek Queen. So if you watch McNeely at all this season, you obviously saw Cooper Flagg as well. He is a real talent, and a lot of talent in the McDonald's All-American game tonight. Should be a fun one to watch. So again, keep an eye on Bryson Tucker. I know for me and for most of us, it'll be the first time we get to see him in any kind of live basketball action. Obviously a little different in an all-star game setting like this, but he definitely is a talented guy. If you've seen any of the clips out there on him, he definitely is somebody that could wow you in an all-star setting like tonight. So keep an eye on him tonight as well in the McDonald's All-American game. Purdue is headed to the Final Four. I know a lot of Indiana fans are troubled by that. I think it's great when local teams, Purdue, Kentucky, Louisville, Bellarmine, Indiana State in the NIT semifinals tonight. I love to see local teams do well. And I really love to see the Big Ten Conference do well also. So I know I'm probably a little bit of an outlier here on some of my thoughts and who I pull for in March Madness. But, you know, one thought on Purdue, and I know we talked some about him yesterday, and we'll talk more about the Final Four matchups later today and this week, but one of the best things I saw after the Purdue win on Sunday, which was an outstanding game, a big-time battle, Edie and Connect, two great players for Purdue and Tennessee, respectively. But one of the best things I saw, maybe the snapshot of the tournament so far, was Zach Edie standing on his feet, reaching up, not on a ladder. He's so tall, clipping off a big piece of the net in celebration of his team's trip to the Final Four. As soon as he cut down that big piece of net, he immediately spun over and went right to Gene Cady, former Purdue coach, and gave him a big piece of it, gave him a big hug as well. And that was touching. Obviously, there were some moments between Coach Painter and Coach Cady that were special. Coach Cady still very involved in the program, and I was reading a story earlier today on CBS Sports that the legacy of Gene Cady is absolutely still alive and thriving under the coaching leadership of Matt Painter. And so that relationship is special. To see him at all the games behind the bench or nearby is special. And to see even his connection, close connection, with some of the players like Zach Edey, who, you know, were very young at best when KD was still coaching at Purdue, is amazing. So I thought that was really a great moment after the Elite Eight games wrapped up on Sunday, to see Edey give Coach KD a piece of net. But he's, to me, Purdue basketball, just like Bob Knight to many of you is Indiana basketball, and obviously me as well. But Coach KD, Coach Knight, those rivalries, those matchups over the years, it's what made people fall in love with basketball as a young kid growing up here in the state. And so to see the connection between Coach Cady and the current Purdue team is definitely special. And so we'll see how Purdue does. I'm thinking a lot about Final Four matchups and who I like and who I want to bet and who I pay attention to. I just think Connecticut rolls over Alabama. I don't know what the spread is, but I think Connecticut is going to be tough for anybody to handle. I'm a little bit mixed on Purdue and North Carolina State. It was 9.5 Purdue the last time I looked. And I can see Purdue winning by 10 double digits. But North Carolina State's got some interior guys that could maybe slow Edie down or cause him some problems or cause him some physical moments that he hasn't seen in the tournament against some other teams. And North Carolina State is playing so good right now, moving the ball so well as a team. It's hard for me to see them getting beat. And if they're going to get beat, it's hard for me to see them getting beat by more than a couple baskets or a couple points, to be honest. So I'm really thinking in my heart of hearts that Purdue and North Carolina State will end up being a really special game. For the national championship matchup, I think you got to hope that Purdue, if you're just cheering for the best matchup, the best potential for a national championship game, I think you got to pull for Purdue and Connecticut to play each other on Monday night. I think that's the only chance anyone has to maybe slow Connecticut down a little bit is Big Zach Edey and the Boilermakers. One other note about Purdue as well. We talked about this yesterday, but how wonderful is it to see Trey Kaufman Wren have such good moments? He's had a great, very solid year for Purdue, but he really has been on an uptick, I think, in the tournament and what he's brought to the team. And he looks so good out there. He is strong and physical and fitting right in with this Purdue starting lineup, and just really talented. And the future, I think, at Purdue is so bright for them. And I just saw somebody sent me a tweet after the show yesterday. I didn't realize this, but Purdue has another 7-foot-plus player committed for next season. I don't know anything about him or what type of high school career he's had, but another 7'1", 7'2 guy coming into the fold for Purdue next season. Definitely amazing how Matt Painter is able to locate and land some of these big guys and what he does once he gets them as well, as far as development. Thornton's text line, texter says, it appears IU move Leland Walker's visit to after the dead period. What do you think? That means they also apparently made it an official visit where it originally wasn't. I'll be honest with you, I had not seen that it had been rescheduled. I know that it was canceled. I wasn't sure of the reason for that, but it was initially going to be an unofficial visit, so I'll be on the lookout for a new date. But Leland Walker, great moments at Eastern Kentucky this past season. Again, an Indiana kid, I think he fits in with what Indiana needs. And let's be honest, Indiana's got scholarships to fill, so I think it makes sense to go after him, and it seems that they are doing so. I was a little perplexed on why it was canceled, if it was just simply a conflict or maybe they wanted to bump it back so it could become an official visit. There is a dead period coming up, I think, what, later this week. So yeah, Leland Walker, definitely paying attention to him. He sounds like a guy that just makes sense for Indiana. And we'll see if when he does get on campus, and that is rescheduled, if Indiana can close the deal with him. But 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. Again, 502-414-1450 is the number. A couple other quick mentions here in this first segment. Indiana Basketball Coaches Association, the coaches organization in our state that does such a great job, they announced earlier this morning that their annual convention is going to take place later this month, April 25th and 26th at Mount Vernon Fortville High School. And how about this for a lineup of coaches that are going to speak? Kansas coach Bill Self, Notre Dame coach Micah Shrewsbury, new Michigan coach Dusty May. They've got other guys as well, Scott Davenport from Bellarmine, the Evansville coach David Ragland, who's doing great things there. I've known David for years and years since he was a high school player in Evansville. Looks like Michigan, the women's coach, Kim Barnes-Arico is going to speak. And then Indiana Fever's coach, Christy Sides, is going to be there as well. So an outstanding lineup. Coach Woodson, before anybody texts or complains, he's spoken to the IBCA convention recently. He gets that opportunity. He and Painter both do a good job of staying in touch with that organization from what I know. But what a lineup, bringing in Bill Self to headline things along with some other Big Ten and local high major Division I coaches. And you can bet Dusty May, with all of his Indiana connections, glad to get an opportunity to get down to Indiana and speak to some of his Indiana coaching friends at the clinic coming up later this month. Women's basketball last night, outstanding game. Caitlin Clark is unbelievable. She came out red hot. She had unbelievable moments later in the game as well. I thought Iowa and LSU was going to be a battle to the finish. Iowa actually the better team. They were able to pull away and win the game. But hats off to Clark and Reese and Iowa and LSU. It wasn't just the two headliners. There are some other really good players on both of those teams. And that was a major, major game, a major moment last night for women's college basketball. And hopefully it got a lot of viewers that tuned in because they were looking for something basketball-wise on a Monday night, excited about the Final Four coming up this weekend. There were two great women's games last night. I couldn't make it up late enough for the second game. But I tell you what, Caitlin Clark and Iowa, hard to not pull for them coming out of the Big Ten Conference. And neat to see some of the reactions after the game, the coaches, the players. There seemed to be a lot of physicality and a lot of intensity in the game. And obviously there have been some words back and forth when they played last year en route to LSU's national championship. But a lot of respect after the game both ways last night, I thought, between Clark and Reese and Iowa and LSU and even the coaches, which is really good to see. But that was a fun game, a big-time matchup last night. I just can't get over how quickly and how far women's basketball, college basketball, has come. It's so nice to see crowds and great television audiences, and I think the future is really bright. IU women have been a big part of that. Louisville women have maybe been even a bigger part of that, making women's college basketball here in this area really good now for a number of years. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Mike Schumann of the Daily Hoosier. Send in your questions and comments and thoughts on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. A quick commercial break is next. We're back to talk IU and the portal and a lot more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday program. Looks like new Louisville coach Pat Kelsey is going to bring basically his entire staff with him to Louisville from the College of Charleston. Brian Kloman, Thomas Carr, and Michael Cassidy will be his three assistant coaches. I know he's got some other support staff positions and I think one more assistant, kind of a recruiting position to fill, but that is interesting. He is staying loyal to what had helped him to a lot of success at his previous job. Mike Schumann of the Daily Hoosier with us. The Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. 1450. Again, 502-414-1450. If you have a comment or question or topic you'd like me to bring up to Mike, just fire it in, and we'll do so here in just a few moments. Mike, McDonald's All-American game tonight. Let's start with that. Obviously, Bryson Tucker. This will be many folks' first opportunity to see him in action tonight. I know an All-Star game isn't near like a regular contest, but I think he's a guy with a lot of talent that can shine with some of the other best players in the country.
Yeah, there's no doubt this is going to be an interesting chance for a lot of people who didn't have Bryson Tucker on their radar as a fan at all over the last few years to at least get to see him play once before he arrives in Bloomington here in a couple months. So I think what people will see when they turn on the TV tonight is a guy who's really skilled. He's 6'6", 6'7", but has a lot of guard skill. Reminds me in some respects, I'm not saying he's a point guard by any stretch because he's not, but he reminds me in some respects of Jalen Hood-Schifino from the standpoint of, you know, having that ability to get to his spots and score in the mid-range. That's probably what stands out on film to me the most is he's never sped up the same way Jalen was never sped up, and he can get to his spot and he's really comfortable creating opportunities in the mid-range. I think what's going to be interesting, very similar to Hood-Schifino, is how much he can develop as a three-point shooter during his time at the college level. You know, games like tonight, you're not going to see a whole lot of, you know, real evaluation setting type moments. It's going to be more of an exhibition where we get to see the guys have fun and just kind of show off their skills a little bit and their athleticism. So, you know, obviously not too much to watch from that standpoint tonight, but it is still a fun opportunity. And Indiana keeps a little bit of a run going with McDonald's All-Americans after a little bit of a hiccup with Liam McNeely, and that'll be the other aspect of it. not just tonight, but prospectively, like those two, you know, had no intentions of being tied together, but, you know, Indiana fans will kind of watch the careers of those two players and compare notes, no doubt about that.
Mike, any chance that Trent Perry from Hollywood, California, that decommitted to USC, I think earlier this morning it actually was made official after the Andy Enfield departure to SMU. Any chance Indiana tries to jump in on him as they did Tucker very late in the recruiting process?
Well, I think everybody knows at this point that those late openings are a Mike Woodson specialty. So I just saw it this morning like you did, don't know too much about it, but looking at it on paper, obviously would seem like a fit if they want to add another class of 2024 piece to the roster at this point. You know, he's actually based out of Los Angeles, so, you know, what is the likelihood of pulling a kid out of that area to Indiana? Those guys seem to tend to want to stay out on the West Coast, but I honestly don't know too much about it, having just kind of going onto my radar today. But, you know, obviously a fit. He's regarded as one of the best shooters in the 2024 class and more of a, you know, a shooting guard where you could pair him up with a Tucker at the three maybe down the road. So I can certainly see the fit. I don't know if Indiana's going to pursue him or not, though.
Mike Schuman, the Daily Hoosier, with us. We're talking the latest with IU basketball recruiting and going to get into the transfer portal here right now. Mike, is Connor Hickman, Bloomington South product, is he maybe the most important player in the portal right now for Indiana to try to land because of his three-point shooting abilities that Indiana so desperately needs more of or better of?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say the most important, but he certainly has the resume that I think is very important to Indiana in this cycle. He's a guy that, you know, I think some people are familiar with from his Bloomington South days. You know, had to go and kind of prove it for a few years at the mid-major level, and in my opinion, has done that. Just a really tough-minded kid. I remember watching him play for Indiana Elite on the summer circuit a few years ago, and that's what really stood out to me is just his toughness as a basketball player. I think just based on that and watching film with him with Bradley, I think he can translate to the Big Ten pretty easily, and then just having that ability as a shooter. I mean, his form on a shot is textbook. I think it will translate to the high major level. So I think he's an important guy, and given the connections, a former teammate of Anthony Leal, I think you'd like to think that that would be one that they can close, but obviously anytime you have a 40% plus shooter in the portal on high volume, Indiana's not going to be the only one that's after him. So it's going to be a competitive recruitment, but he's definitely one you look at in your circle and you think that's the kid you'd like to get for sure.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier. You can read Mike's work at thedailyhoosier.com. You can follow him on social media at @daily_Hoosier. And he's with us here Tuesdays to talk IU basketball and more. Mike, other transfer portal prospects, there are so many out there. I know Leland Walker's visit was canceled, but I saw a text earlier on the Thornton's text line. Maybe it's been rescheduled. What do you know about the recruitment out of the portal of Leland Walker and where that stands?
Yeah, he's one, you know, you kind of compare him and Hickman. Like, how many guys kind of in that mold do you want to try to take? And do they feel like, you know, they're almost competitive with one another if they go to the same school? That would be something I would think about with two guys like that. You know, I think Hickman to this point has been a little bit more efficient as a scorer. I do worry a little bit with Walker's numbers, like how well they translate to high major, because he's been a good scorer and he's a good player, and he's another guy I enjoyed watching on the summer circuits. But I do wonder, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, you know, how well he would translate to the high major level. So, you know, I think he'd be another one. If you got him, he'd be a good piece to the puzzle for sure. I'm interested in guys like Cody Perkins of Iowa, another Indianapolis kid. One thing that's really stood out to me in this portal cycle, and I don't think we're done with this, by the way, I think there's going to be a couple more names hit this week or next with Indiana connections. That's what's really standing out to me. You know, you talk about Hickman, you talk about Walker, you talk about Tony Perkins, you talk about Ben Humbridges, if I'm pronouncing that right, down in Evansville. There is just a number of guys with Indiana connections, and like I said, I think you're going to see a couple more that, you know, if IU wanted to, they could almost build out the rest of the roster with Indiana kids, which would be kind of interesting, kind of fun, and kind of a sign of the times that, you know, guys that maybe didn't get, you know, got recruited over or didn't get an offer the first time around are have proven themselves like Hickman at a lower level. And so I think that's where we're at right now. A lot of those guys, and there's others, like we wrote today about Miles Rice out of Washington State, a guy from Atlanta with connections to Yasir Rosamon. He was the Pac-12 freshman of the year, I believe. So, I mean, really talented kid in and of himself. But that's probably the biggest challenge I think the staff's dealing with right now. It's like, how do you decide where to focus your energy and your effort? You know, if you pick one kid, that probably takes another kid off the board, like I mentioned with the Hicker and Walkman dynamic, at least as I see it. It's a really interesting time, really, really challenging dynamic to deal with when, you know, you do have six roster spots, but when you're talking about the volume of kids that we've seen Indiana reach out to, it's really not that many. And there's a whole host of kids IU was talking to that don't make the radar. We saw that last year with Khalil Ware, who, you know, nobody even wrote about or mentioned as connected to IU until the day before his visit. That's going on as well. Just the names we're hearing are just the ones that, for whatever reason, make it out to the public. There's a whole other set of kids that are being recruited right now that we're not hearing about.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier. You know, you mentioned the transfer portal not slowing down. I count five players from the Big Ten Conference yesterday on April 1 that announced their entrance into the portal. So with there still being some NIT games tonight and later this week, NCAA Final Four games this weekend, and the national championship on Monday, it's still possible, whether their teams are playing or not, that there will be more additions to the portal. So I think this thing is really just beginning to get wound up, and while Indiana's got some new faces, there's going to be even more that enter the portal that we don't know about at this time.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, between the teams still in the NIT, teams that just kind of wrapped up in the Elite Eight or still going in the Final Four, I think there's clearly a few players in that group that have potential connectivity to Indiana that I'm definitely interested to see where they go. You know, I think for the most part, players have done a pretty good job of, you know, if their team was still going, they they kept their name out of the mix. But you saw, like, yesterday with Illinois, you know, they just a couple days removed from being eliminated, and Dane Danger goes in the portal. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't know if the NCAA needs to change the way they go about this, because just, you know, for a kid like that, you know, he's missed opportunities because his team was still going. That seems like a kind of an odd thing to be punished for, if punishment's the right word. But and the schools themselves, you know, schools that are still playing right now, you know, but they can still recruit, obviously, but they're obviously distracted with actually playing basketball games, which kind of seems to be the point of this whole thing. So, you know, it's interesting. It's such a, you know, fluid situation. The rules seem to change every year. We've seen that with the calendar changing, moving to the first day after a selection Sunday. You know, you still hear people saying that it needs to be changed again. So this is just a, you know, a dynamic time in college basketball. It feels like for old folks like me, we watched it for a generation and not much changed, and now everything's changing as years go by. So it's fun, it's interesting, but it's also very fluid at this point.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier. Mike, Final Four coming up on Saturday. I was looking at something with CBS Sports a few minutes ago. All of their experts, 10 or 11 of them, predict Purdue to beat North Carolina State. And I think that ultimately will happen. But don't you think North Carolina State maybe has the makings with some of their interior guys, their big guys, to cause the Boilermakers and to cause Edie a little problems and to make it interesting?
It's a great question. I mean, there's been a lot of times where I thought, you know, this guy or that guy could be the one that could, you know, cause Edie some problems. And he just doesn't seem to be fazed by much of anybody. But I do look forward to the matchup with him and Burns. I mean, if you watch Burns out there and he looks like a big dude, but then you realize he's, what is it, like 6 inches shorter and 25 pounds lighter than Edie, he's actually going to look pretty small out on the court compared to Edie when they go head to head. But I think Burns brings some skills to the table that will challenge Edie a little bit, just because he's a little bit more mobile. He's a little bit more fluid as an athlete. He might be able to use his quickness a little bit to get around Zach at times, but it's certainly going to be a fun matchup to watch. And you just wonder about NC State generally. I mean, they are that kind of team of destiny. I saw a graphic on their last game where they showed kind of what the 83 NC State team did and the run that they went on, and it was pretty startling how similar it is to this one. Obviously, there's no connection other than the name on the uniform, but it sometimes you just wonder about a team that figures it out and gets hot. They've won a lot of impressive games, including beating Duke and North Carolina on this run. So there's no reason to think that they're not going to give Purdue a really tough game. I think they probably, more than Burns against Edie, I'm interested to see how the NC State guards can defend Purdue's guards. I think that's where a lot of the best in this run from NC State has come from. Their guards are really good on the defensive end. And if they can disrupt Purdue before they can get the ball down to Edie, or, you know, cause some turnovers as they try to get the ball down to Edie, I think that could be an element of the game that could change things a little bit. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, everything points to a Purdue-UConn championship. And if that happens, I mean, gosh, that seemed like the two best teams almost the entire season. And, you know, as much as the Burns-Edie matchup is interesting, the Klingon-Edie matchup is very interesting and would be, you know, certainly a matchup that would have captivate the entire country.
Mike, I think you're the perfect guest on our show to ask this question to. You interact with so many IU fans through your website and through social media. What do you think the general feel of an IU diehard fan is right now with Purdue making it to the Final Four? I feel like that most cheer against them, don't want to see the Boilermakers make it to the Final Four, prefer them not to win another game. And then I do feel like there's a smaller minority that is okay with in-state, making the state look good. Matt Painter a good guy, an IU fan growing up. He obviously has talked about that a lot over the years. But how do you gauge the general diehard IU fan right now as far as it goes and relates to Purdue's postseason success?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, speaking in generalities, I think most Indiana fans don't want to see Purdue win, but it's not necessarily because they dislike Matt Painter or the players. It's more just that, you know, that water cooler banter that you have to deal with as a fan, or you know, family gatherings, because everybody's got Purdue fans, you know, friends or family or whatnot. So, you know, I think Indiana fans have always enjoyed kind of having that edge of, you know, saying Purdue's never won a national title. It would like to keep it. But you mentioned, like, Matt Painter. Like, I don't ever talk to anybody that thinks, oh, man, I can't stand Matt Painter. He's such a bad dude or whatever. I mean, everybody seems to like that guy. I know personally, listening to his press conferences, I really enjoy what he has to say. And I think that's kind of transcended the rivalry a little bit. And you know, I think Zach Edey kind of is divisive, not because he's doing anything wrong, but just because he is so dominant that it frustrates people. So I think, you know, whatever happens at this Final Four, I think Indiana fans will be glad to see him move on to the NBA. And but you know, I don't hear too many people saying, although I have seen it, I don't hear too many people saying, I'll just be happy for Purdue to finally win a national title. I know those IU fans are out there. I've seen them, but I think by and large, I think people would be just happy to see Purdue come up a little bit short, see Zach Edey move on, and just get back to not having Purdue in this kind of position.
Mike Schumann with us. Mike, I promise one football question today. I think I saw Coach Cignetti mention it's been six spring practices now for the IU football Hoosiers. Any feeling on the new coaching staff and where things are at this spring as we start to think a little bit more about the spring game and football here this month of April?
It's always hard to read the spring. I mean, I think especially in this kind of situation where you're in install mode. They're putting in new offense, new defense. That's what they're trying to accomplish in spring more than anything, as well as, you know, trying to distill down their roster, trying to get familiar with the guys who are either transferred in from places other than James Madison or guys that have returned from Indiana. You know, really trying to get a feel for how all this comes together, who their best players are, who might still depart after there's another portal window here starting next month, who might depart via that aspect and where their roster holes still are. I think that's what this is more about. It's really hard to get a read on, you know, are they going to, you know, flip the switch in year one and have a really strong season, although I think the schedule sets up to get off to a good start. So I don't think we're going to learn anything profound in the spring. I think the quarterback competition is interesting. I would certainly give the edge to Curtis Rourke, the transfer out of Ohio. But, you know, when you have a Indiana's best quarterback recruit ever in the rankings there, Tyler Cherry, out of Center Grove, and his former Center Grove teammate, Taven Jackson, I mean, with nothing else, it's a fun competition to keep an eye on. But right now, I'd probably give the edge to Rourke.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier. He's with us Tuesdays on the show. Mike, enjoy the Final Four. We'll be back on Tuesday to catch up with all the latest with recruiting and the portal and chat with you then.
Okay, Matt. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Texter says, how can I watch Tucker and the McDonald's game tonight? ESPN, 9 o'clock. I think the women's game, the girls' game, is on before that, but I don't have that up in front of me right now to confirm. But the boys' game is scheduled for 9 p.m. tonight on ESPN if you want to get a look at Tucker and Flory Badunga and who knows who else in that game you might be interested in. But always fun, I think, to check out the McDonald's All-American game. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with some more on this Tuesday show. We'll wrap things up, talk a little bit about our Final Four predictions and thoughts after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final couple minutes here of our Tuesday show. Looks like this weather is moving in earlier in the afternoon than I thought, so everybody be careful out there. Justin Kalin, producer with me. Justin, a quick thought on each Final Four game. I know that you're a Connecticut guy like me from the get-go. I still have the Huskies winning it all. I think it's Connecticut-Purdue. What is your take on the games this weekend?
I do, too, think it's Connecticut and Purdue. I mean, Alabama's got the better opportunity for the upset, in my opinion. I just think with their ability to shoot the three ball and just their the way they could put up points, if there is going to be an upset at all in this round, I do believe it'll be Alabama. NC State, I like to think, will have a shot to get the upset here in this one this weekend, but I just – with Zach Edey being as big as he is, I'm not seeing it. So, yep, give me Purdue, give me UConn.
I'm with you. Good stuff. Justin Kalin, thank you. That's going to wrap things up for our Tuesday program. Stay safe with weather moving in. A lot of events canceled tonight and the rest of the day, so be careful as well. And we'll talk Wednesday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.